The Voice from Heaven. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we begin a new series of topics entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl, Associate Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology. Welcome, gentlemen, and thank you for joining me today.
Morning.
This new lesson we have on the Bible for Today, entitled The Voice from Heaven, kind of caught me off guard at first. I thought perhaps they were talking about the voice that was spoken at Jesus' baptism, but and while that voice is important, it's actually the voice that began in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned, the voice calling for Adam and Eve to return into communion with God. And so this first lesson gives us the opportunity to talk about the ways that God is seeking to communicate with us through the course of human history. As I thought about that, I thought of the picture of God in the famous poem by Francis Thomas Thompson called The Hound of Heaven, where you have this picture of God actively seeking after man. I just want to know what you gentlemen thought, if you thought that was an appropriate picture, to picture God as the Hound of Heaven searching after his lost children. What do you think?
I think there are a number of places in Scripture where we could turn to where that same kind of seeking is illustrated, where we have God, a God who doesn't just call once or twice, but very persistently, very patiently, continues to call out, to seek after, to track, so to speak, his children. So I think it's an image that I would be comfortable with, and I think it's illustrated in Scripture in a variety of ways and places.
Can you think of any illustrations of Scripture? I mean, that we see this God that's seeking, that's tracking us down. What stories come to your mind?
Well, the parable of the lost sheep would be one example, where we liken Jesus to the shepherd who seeks after that which has gone astray.
Yeah, and the other parables that go with it, the lost coin.
Yes,
is another one. The lost son, although we don't usually talk about the lost son, we usually talk about the prodigal son.
Well, it's interesting too, because often in our society we talk about, you know, man pursuing after God. But here we get a picture, I think, of God that's, you know, actively seeking after man, after humankind. I think of the story even in the beginning of you know, in the Garden of Eden, where you see it's God who comes down the garden calling for Adam, calling for Eve, and they're the ones hiding, but he's actually searching them out.
Yeah.
And I think that even in the Hebrew prophets, there are a number of examples of God being tenacious. You think of some of the messages that, for example, Jeremiah and Isaiah delivered, where they are telling the people that in spite of their wayward, well, first of all, that they were nothing, that they weren't chosen by God because of some great prowess, but that God sought them out when they were nobodies and made them into a nation. And then even though they have left him and gone after other gods, God persists.
To me, that's good news. I mean, I thought even the beginning, the story of Cain and Abel, where you see God, he was pursuing after Cain, trying to, you know, deal with this issue, or the story of Abraham, where God takes the initiative as the one who comes and makes this promise. Mm-hmm. But probably for me, the clearest picture I see of this is in the 23rd Psalm, a famous psalm, where the end, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." And in the Hebrew, that word for to follow is not passive, it's very active, where you get this picture of the God who's this hound of heaven who tracks us down, who's on our path and is not going to let us go easily. And to me, that just gives me, you know, hope as a believer that God is desperately searching after me.
So. Yeah.
But this lesson, the Bible for today, of course, the Bible gives us a picture of God, but can we get an accurate picture of God from anywhere else around us? What do you think?
Well, to me, the word accurate in your question maybe is a little problematic, because it seems to me that all of our pictures of God are not complete. But I think we can get reflections of God from a variety of sources. And the two that we usually talk about the Bible.
Right.
But then we also talk about the way in which nature reveals something of God's invisible qualities mm-hmm. and characters, to kind of borrow a phrase from Romans.
Right.
And I think that is true. I don't know that we always pay as much attention to that as we should, what can be learned about God from nature. But that would be another...
I think that the discussion of nature needs to be expanded, Paul, that when talking about that kind of general revelation, people oftentimes talk about looking into human history mm-hmm. and seeing if there are some places in which we can say with reasonable assurance that God acted there. You know, I've heard people talk about the experience of Dunkirk,
yes,
where militarily speaking, the Allied soldiers had no chance at all. But in a matter of a couple of days, they are taken off of the beaches with very few losses.
The fog rolls in, and yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and, you know, little boats come over from England and take them off the beach. Now, there's no way to prove that God was active there. And, you know, I don't know what it would be like to be on the other side and see whether that was providential. Mm-hmm. You know, there are these instances in human history where things just didn't seem to go the way they would have been predicted to go.
Yes.
And I think another place we need to look at is human nature. And I derive a lot of joy and satisfaction from looking at the various aspects of human nature. If indeed we are made in the image of God, is there not something that comes from our collective sense that can tell us about God? You know, what do you make of the sense of conscience? What do you make mm-hmm. of the sense of creativity? What mm-hmm. do you make of you know, all those kind of things that are part of human nature that I think we can extrapolate from to at least get a clue about some of the dimensions of God. I agree with you that, you know, our pictures of God are always incomplete.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wanted to just add, too, when I say nature, I think sometimes we get this picture of, like, going out and looking up at the sky or looking at a tree, and mm-hmm. while that would be a means through which God could communicate with us or reveal himself, I think we should probably include science in that, too. The mm-hmm. very careful
yeah. Nature, very technical
study
sense, yes.
of the created world and how things operate. I think that reveals something to us about
yeah.
God.
It can, yeah. And I would throw in another one, even beauty or aesthetics.
Sure.
When you look at the non-theistic ideas of origins, what's the point of beauty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet we see sometimes extravagant beauty that is part of creation. I think it creates a sense that there is something beyond us. I don't know that it gives us any precise sense of the existence of God.
But something greater.
Yeah, how could all this be? I think it can easily fill us with a sense of wonder mm-hmm. and a sense of smallness. And make us quite amenable to what I would say are the promptings of the Holy Spirit to be open to the idea of some greater being who is the reason for all of this.
So what would you say as far as limitations? And I guess, I mean, where do we draw the line where it says, well, I can get us this far but no farther, and here's where the Bible comes in. Is how far can we go? I mean.
Well, I don't think that general revelation, I agree with a lot of Christian theologians, that general revelation is not enough in and of itself to bring us to a knowledge of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can set the stage where we could become responsive to the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
But just in and of itself, it doesn't really reveal enough for us to be able to make, decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think saving knowledge comes from general revelation.
All right.
Although it's interesting that the Bible seems to be pretty clear that there's sufficient basis in general revelation for God to judge people. I mean, Romans 1 is a classic case.
Yeah.
But I think it's not general revelation on its own. I think that there's also the promptings or the impetus that comes from the Holy Spirit. And I think those who are open to the idea of God because of general revelation easily, get caught up in the leadings of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and can come to faith.
Yeah, where God interacts with them. So we'd say yes to general revelation for a picture of God, but as far as this, I guess we'd call it natural theology, some people call it, where it can lead you to a saving relationship, yeah. would be going too far. Now, when we talk about the Bible has a means of revealing, you know, who God is, does that revelation consist primarily of information? I mean, things we need to know, or is God himself the content of that revelation, or is that splitting hairs? What do you think?
I'm not sure if I'd be comfortable in saying that either of those. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the Bible is primarily... Well, see, the more I think about it, then I might start changing my mind. But I guess I don't think the Bible is primarily about transmitting information to us.
But there is information in it.
Certainly there is information in it. So that's, you know, that's the flip side of the coin. But, yeah, it's more of an encounter, it seems like to me, with God, where we see how God interacted with this world mm-hmm. through history. And I think that that's, to me, that's going beyond mere, you know, transmittal of information.
Right.
Well, if it was mainly about information, why do we have all the, I mean, why is so much of the Bible written in poetry? And why do we have so much narrative? You know, it's not a list of things to believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Like a checklist.
Right.
Yeah, see, to me, this question is not an either-or question, but mm-hmm. a both-and.
Both
and,
yeah.
How do you learn about anybody without factual information?
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly there's more, all of us are made up of more than factual information. But even emotional relationships that are not oriented toward content so much, that you still acquire information. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it. But I agree with you, Paul. The Bible is not a blueprint, if I can put it there, with highly detailed instructions about everything. But I would argue that even poetry conveys information.
Sure.
It just does it in a different way.
What kind of information? What do you mean?
I mean
artistic expression or what? No.
I think that there are facts that are conveyed. There are truths. There are ideas that emerge from stories, from poetry, mm-hmm. from history, that tell us about God. But you can't say that God in His entirety is revealed in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn about God and we're invited into relationship with God. But there is still an extra biblical element that comes, I think, by way of interaction of the Holy Spirit. It's mm-hmm. not just, but it's not a book of instructions.
Right.
Although there are some instructions
sure.
in there.
Sure.
Right. So it's really the both and. I mean, we get a picture of God, but also information about who this God is and the relationship that He calls us into.
Yeah, and when you're done reading the Bible, you have a pretty good idea of what God's plan is mm-hmm. and where you might fit in, what he approves and what He doesn't approve. That's informational, but it's also relational.
And we need both, I think, right? We need both our picture of God and information about God for how we relate to Him. So yeah, to me that's very exciting because we have these different facets of knowing God. We have nature, we have a history, we have personal experience. But we have God's Word who gives us the ultimate picture of who He is and the relationship that He calls us to. And to me, that picture of God who's seeking after us actively, that hound of heaven, just gives me such good news that I know God is pursuing me and He's going to make it very difficult for me to get away. And I think that's the good news of the picture we see in Scripture. I'd like to thank Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Dr. Dave Thomas for joining me today. And, of course, Susan Michael for her technical assistance. And, of course, to you, our listeners of Probe. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the importance the Bible has for us today. And so for Probe, I'm Carl Cosart, and I want to thank you for being with us. God bless.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.